Tonight we're going to be looking at several verses of scripture that you're very, very familiar with. But I wanted to begin by sharing with you a story that was in the newspaper not long ago, and then we're going to tie that into the message tonight. And it was about a picture that was in a newspaper in Texas. And let me describe that picture to you as I read this to you, and then you'll hear why this picture had such a significance to the story. It says, "The picture in a Texas newspaper made no sense until you read the caption below. Picture a man standing, a woman in front of him, slightly stooped, her head turned, and her ear pressed against his chest. The caption read, 'I'm listening to the heartbeat of my son.' Years before, this man had been the transplant recipient of a teenager's heart. After all these years, the recipient and the mother of the donor finally met. The heart now beating and pulsating inside this man was the heart of this woman's precious son. The son that she had loved and cherished with her whole heart, the son she had lovingly carried to birth, the baby that she had nursed, changed, bathed, and dressed and fed, the toddler that she had bounced on her knee and chased and taught and laughed with and cried with. The then maturing young man of whom she was so proud was shockingly taken away from her instantly through a tragic accident. She could not let his death be in vain. And so she donated every viable organ he had so that he could live on in the lives of others. Now she is standing in the presence of the man whose life was saved through the gift of her son's heart. The knowledge that the heart of her son was just inches behind the chest wall of this man overwhelmed her. So she made an incredible yet simple request. May I listen to the heartbeat of my son?" And as we think about that story tonight, and we look at that picture and how this mom so intently listened to the heartbeat of her son, it causes us to also think about Jesus Christ and God, how he listened to the heartbeat of his son. But even more important than that, how Jesus Christ listens to our heartbeat. You know, when we listen to the heartbeat of Jesus, his heartbeat was for people. You, me, family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, people that anybody who lived in this world, his heartbeat was for them. His heartbeat was also for missions. He was concerned not only about people who were around him, but people who were far away from him and people who maybe never had the opportunity to have contact with him. And as we think about missions in our church, and as we think about missions in general, we think about local missions and we think about foreign missions. That would be the heartbeat of Jesus. And then the other heartbeat that he has is for the lost and dying. Those are the people whom we have the opportunity to come in contact with each day. Those people that we might meet in our neighborhood, or those people we might meet at work. We know who those people are. But Jesus had a heartbeat for the lost and dying. And so his heartbeat was for people, for missions, and for the lost and dying. We could go to the scriptures and we could find many, many stories that speak very, very clearly to how Jesus listened to the heartbeat of people. We can read the writings of Paul and some of the things that Paul did and how Paul let Jesus Christ live through him. All the disciples, all the people who are there in the Bible, they all had Jesus' heartbeat and they let Jesus live through them. And so we could take any verses of Scripture, we could go through our New Testament, and we could pull out all the ones that are in red, the words of Jesus Himself. And we would see and we would hear His heartbeat. But tonight I want to focus on the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, the last three verses of that chapter, which we call the Great Commission. And I want to for us to just look at these verses of Scripture and just see what it is that they have to say to us. Because you see, if you look at those verses of Scripture, they talk about our responsibility as a Christian. Even though these words were said to His disciples, these are words that Jesus would say to us also. This is our mission as we look at the Great Commission. If you go back in the previous chapter, chapter 27, Matthew, in those words, he records the crucifixion of Jesus. He talks about Him being placed in that borrowed tomb. He talks about the ladies who go out to that tomb that morning. And then he tells these ladies something, and we find this in verses 6 through 10 of the 27th chapter. He said, this is the ladies when they go to the tomb, and they learn, "He is not here, for He is risen, as He said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead, and behold, He goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you." And so it's with this that these ladies go and they tell the disciples about the fact that tomb is now empty and that Jesus has arisen and that He has an appointed place to meet with them. Look, if you will, down in verses 18 through 20 of the 28th chapter. And here we have what we call the Great Commission. And, you know, why is it that this is probably the most significant verses in the Scriptures, the most significant passages that we have? Why is this true? Basically, two reasons. First of all, it's the last recorded personal instructions given by Jesus to His disciples. It's the last words that Jesus spoke to His disciples while He was here on this earth. And you know, when it says that He spoke it to His disciples, you can put your name in place of the disciples, because it was the last personal words that He spoke to each one of us. And secondly, it is a special calling from Jesus Christ to all of His followers to take specific action while on this earth. Our instructions or our command, what we are to do, are found in these verses of Scripture. Let's read those verses of Scripture. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of this world." This is a personal instruction that Jesus gave to His disciples. Jesus needed this time. He needed this time with His disciples, because if you go back up just a few verses, in fact, let's read verses 16 and 17, and this is why one of the reasons Jesus needed this special time with His disciples, because it talks about when they came to Him in Galilee, and it says, "And then the 11 disciples came away unto Galilee, unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed for them to meet." And keep in mind that He told the ladies to tell the disciples where to come. "And when they saw Him, they did two things. They worshiped, and some doubted. They worshiped and sung about it. In spite of all that Jesus had said to them, in spite of all the teachings that he had given to them, some still doubted. The Great Commission is significant for us as Christians. It is the end of the gospel and the beginning of faith in action for all Christians. Jesus no longer in person, he is now in faith. Think about that. Once he gave that Great Commission and then he ascended into heaven, then that's where our faith had to come in. That's where the faith of the disciples had to come in, because he was no longer with them. He wasn't with them every day. They weren't able to walk around with him and hear his stories that he told, or see the people that he witnessed to, or see the people that he healed. It was all now based on faith. And you know, that's the way it is with us. None of us have personally had that encounter with him where we've seen him face to face. But we all believe in him. We all have that encounter with him through our faith in him. This command from Jesus is significant because it's a personal instruction for Christians to have a profound faith in Jesus Christ, as indicated in verse 18. Look at what he says in verse 18. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." We can have faith in him, for he has given us his word. That's a promise. That's a promise that he has made to us. And that promise is, all power is given unto me. All power is given unto each one of us in heaven and earth. This is an incredible, powerful statement which demands faith in Jesus Christ, validating his power in the lives of Christians as they are committed to him. This verse as it acts as a clear claim to Jesus's deity. If Christians do not believe this statement, that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, then they do not believe, then they cannot have a complete faith in him. Jesus is very clear about his authority in the world. It is a complete and total authority from the beginning of time itself. In recent weeks, Brother David has been leading us in a study of the book of John. And the very first verses in the book of John talk about the authority that Jesus had in this world. Listen at from John 1, verses 1 through 3, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made." He's emphasizing here, as Brother David has talked to us, about the authority of Jesus, that it goes all the way back to the beginning. Once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he gives us something to do. Isn't that just like him? Think about all the stories in the Bible. You know, when Jesus would heal someone, I think about the man who was lowered down through the roof that time. First of all, I think about the homeowner. And he's thinking, what am I going to tell my insurance guy? How am I going to explain this to him? How am I going to explain this hole in my roof? But you remember when Jesus was lowered down and he brought healing to this man, he told him to what? Take up his bed and walk. And he told him also to tell other people about Jesus. And so every time we see a miracle that Jesus performs, he tells the people to go. Go and tell other people about Jesus. Oftentimes in our Sunday school class, when I teach and I come across verses of Scripture and it talks about telling things that are great in your life. The thing that I can relate that the most to is the birth of a child. How many of you, when your first child was born, or your second or third, or ever how many you had, walked around the hospital and said, "Now, don't tell anybody about this. I just want to keep it to myself. I'm not going to tell anybody. We're just going to kind of keep it. Marianne, I'm just going to kind of keep it between us." That wasn't the way it was. Where were you when that baby was placed in that nursery? Your nose was pressed against that glass, and you were telling everybody that beautiful one over there, he's my son, she's my daughter, because it was important. And so you wanted to tell people the good news about the birth of your child. And that's what Jesus is saying here in these verses of Scripture. In verse 19, when he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." That very first word that he uses, the word "go," that's a command. That's a word of action for us to go, to do something. Don't stay here. Go tell people. You know, when you witness to someone, one of the things that in all of the programs that I've looked at, whether it's evangelism, explosion, or continuing witnessing training or faith training, the one thing you encourage that person to do once they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is to go. Go and tell someone about the difference in your life, how Jesus Christ has come into your life. And so here was the command that Jesus gave to his disciples. He said, "Go therefore," or "go from this place, leave this place, and tell people about me. And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Jesus calls all of his followers to act and share the good news of salvation throughout the world. People hear this calling and travel each year on missionary trips throughout the earth, spreading the word of Jesus Christ. And when I thought about that statement about people traveling, I had to think about Crescent Beach Baptist Church. This is one of the most mission-minded churches that I've ever been a part of. Think about what our church has done. Our church has sent people to China, to the Ukraine, to France, to Northern Africa. We sent our youth to Pennsylvania. We had a group of youth last summer that went to the Bahamas, went to Cat Island. Today I was talking to some people, and they were sharing with me about Caleb and Crystal, and they're going to Wales to establish churches there. People who are being sent out from our church, a mission-minded church. And so they're doing just what this command is. Go, therefore, and teach all nations. And then I think about our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, over $20,000 from this church. Folks, that's God working. That's God working in our lives and saying to us, you have a responsibility. You can't go, but you have a response. Maybe you can't go, but you have a response. You have a responsibility to give so that other people can go. The cooperative program, the amount of money that this church gives to the cooperative program, that we give to the association. And then I think about Brother Maurice Brown back here, and he tells me that our church is one of the most giving churches that he's ever been in when he goes and shares about the work of the Gideons. Folks, this is all missions. This is all that Jesus is talking about in these verses of Scripture when he's telling his disciples to go. Now, we know that we don't have to go far from home to witness. We don't have to go to some other country. The mission fields can be as close as our next door neighbor. The mission field can be as close as our spouse or as a child within our own family. It could be a neighbor who needs to hear the good news. Have you ever been kind of just about your own business, and somebody's name comes to your mind? You don't know why, but somebody's name comes to your mind, and you pick up the phone and you call that person and you say, I just had you on my mind. Sound like a country song, doesn't it? Just had you on my mind. And that person will then share with you something that they're going through right now. And you're able to share in that experience with that person and share with them maybe even a scripture verse or say, well, you know, I don't know all about it, but the one thing I can do, I can pray for you. Can we pray right now on the phone? And you pray for that person. That's a mission. That's a way that we can reach out to people. And so the people that we reach out to, the missions that the mission fields that we have, may be those that are right near our home. Right now in the 21st century, the internet has become a mission field where people can reach out and share Christ's love. I have a good Jewish friend who I've known now for 10 or 12 years. And one week we had a meeting here in St. Augustine. He was working up in a residential school up in Pennsylvania at that time. And God just laid it on my heart to share with him about Jesus Christ. Well, he quickly tried to cut me off. And I said, well, just hear me out. Just hear me out. And so I shared with him the gospel about Jesus Christ, and he was very kind. He listened. And it wasn't long after that I got an email from him. And he said, I've just formed a corporation, and we're going to be doing consulting with residential schools. And the person that is working with me on that is a Christian. He shared with me the same thing you shared with me in St. Augustine. Rick Pierce has now read the New Testament 5 or 6 times. He and I communicate on a regular basis over the internet. And he's sharing with me, and he's quick to say, I've not come over yet. I'm not fully over yet, but I think he's just getting closer and closer with each email that I get from him. But here is a way that Rick and I can communicate with each other that has been provided. And I can witness to him, and he can share with me what God is doing in his life. In fact, let me tell you where Rick was last year. On a mission trip to China with a Baptist church from Pennsylvania. Wow. Isn't that something? Wow. The places and people who need to hear the gospel are everywhere. This morning, that Sunday school lesson that we had, boy, it just touched me so. And it talked about service. And it talked about your lifestyle, and that as a Christian, your lifestyle is one of you just share as you go about your daily life. You share with other people about Jesus Christ. You don't even think about it. You don't even think about it. And that's the way it should be. Because one of the illustrations that was in there is from those verses of Scripture when Jesus told in that parable, you know, you were naked and I clothed you, you were sick and I came. And the question was asked, well, when did I do all of that? And, of course, the response that Jesus came back with was, when you do it to the least of one of these, you've done it for me. And that's the way it is. The other illustration, and I wanted to just share this with you because I shared it with my Sunday school class this morning. One of the best speeches that I heard in 2010 was from an 8th grade boy at a Carrot Accounts breakfast. And he came up, all the kids have to give a little speech who are selected for the Character Counts Award, and all of them have to give a little speech, and all of them had their index cards, and they were flipping through them, and they were reading their speeches and everything. But this one little boy came up, and he had on a plaid shirt, khaki pants, and deck shoes, no socks, kind of baggy, and his speech was this: I don't understand why I'm being awarded something for something I'm supposed to do all the time anyhow. He sat down. And I'm thinking, wow, that's the most profound speech I heard today. That he realized that what he did, the characters, the character characteristics that were seen in him by his teachers, by his peers, were things that he just felt like, well, I would be doing them anyhow. So why should I be awarded? Why should I receive an award for that? And you know, that's the way it is in our Christian life. The things that that we do in life should be simply because our lives are being used as a vessel, and Jesus Christ is just pouring himself into us. And as he pours himself into us, we pour our lives into the lives of other people. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that simple? But we have to make it what? Very difficult, very complex. We have to figure it out and everything. But he wants to make it very, very simple. In verse 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Christians are instructed to teach others about Jesus Christ and the entirety of the truth. It says in that verse of Scripture, observe all things. I am so grateful that we have a pastor who unashamedly proclaims the word of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you might not like it. And sometimes if he were in another church, they may, whoa, he shouldn't have said that. But he proclaims the word of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what this command says to us. It's not, folks, it's not a smorgasbord. It's not a buffet where we can go through and pick the things that are important that Jesus said. Everything that he said was important. Everything in this word is important. Everything in this book is important. It's the divine word of God. And so we can't just go through and pick out here and there and try to win an argument based on little bits and pieces that we pull from his word. It says, observe all things. We can't profess Jesus as Savior and Lord while rejecting certain of his teachings. We don't need anything that's watered down. Once again, I'm just thankful that Brother David doesn't water down the Scriptures as he proclaims his word to us. And as we teach Christian truths, verse 20 declares that we can be confident in faith that Jesus Christ will support us. In verse 20, he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. That's a promise. That's a promise that he makes to us, that really it doesn't matter where we are, and when we're sharing his word, he's there. He's there with us. In fact, he's already gone before us. And he's already prepared the way for us to come. And all he wants is a vessel that will be faithful in sharing that word with that individual. Yes, Jesus Christ has ascended back to heaven, but he is present by the power of the Holy Spirit in every believer. You know that comforter that we read about in the Scriptures? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the person. That's the indwelling of Jesus Christ, that when we go and we share the gospel with someone, regardless of how botched up we get it, we get the verses of Scripture all messed up, and we just get all befuddled, and finally we just kind of throw our hands up. And the person accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know why? It's the Word. It's the Word. It has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with us other than he calls on us to be faithful in sharing that Word with other people. The very first word in this command is the word go. It is an action word. people who obey this command have a change in their spiritual life forever. Notice I didn't say the people who it shared with have a change, because they have a change. But when you are faithful in sharing the word of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a change in your life also. When you see that person come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and to know that God used you in your feeble way to communicate to them the gospel, you get a blessing. You get a blessing from that. People who obey this command change their spiritual lives forever. It could be spreading the good news to a neighbor or moving to another country to reach the people there. It could be sharing with less fortunate kids down the street or spreading the word in a town 2 hours away. Wherever we go, every faithful Christian is compelled through obedience to share the gospel. It's a way of life. It should be a way of life for us. I began by sharing with you the story of a lady who wanted to hear the heartbeat of her son. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, where has He called you to go? Who has Jesus put on your heart to share the gift of salvation? What small or large steps can you take with the knowledge that Christ will be by your side to make disciples of all nations? Those are questions that we need to answer tonight. Who is it that Jesus has placed in your life that you need to be a witness to? If we are Christians and claim to be Christ-like, then our heartbeat and Christ's heartbeat should be the same. His heartbeat is for people, for missions, and for the lost and dying souls. That's who our heartbeat should be for also. Let's pray. Father, I just come. I thank you, Lord, that once again we've had the opportunity to come to this place and to worship you, to spend time with our friends, to spend time in your word, and to just have your word speak to us. And I just pray, Father, that as we leave, that we'll find that person whom you want us to be that witness to. And not only that we find that person, but we will be bold in witnessing to them and sharing with them about the love of Jesus Christ. And so I just pray tonight for that person who might be here even right now. And they've been struggling with that decision in their life. Maybe they've been struggling with that decision of wanting to become a part of a fellowship, of a fellowship. And they have now decided that Crescent Beach is that place. And so I lift that person up to you tonight. And I pray that you will help them to be obedient to that decision. And then, Father, for that person who maybe has drifted away for whatever reason, and now they've come back, and they want to have that joy that they once had in their life. Father, I just pray that you bless that person in a special way, and you just fill that person with your love and with your joy. And then tonight, Father, we lift up especially that person who doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that tonight would be the night that they would make that decision to accept that free gift of eternal life that only you can give. Be with us now during this time.